We love sustainability, and so does Macy's. Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak on 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Hi, Nicole.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Oh, hi. Hi, Nicole.
How are you?
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Listen, I am thriving.
Oh, how come?
Oh, you know, you just say those things and hopefully they come true. So, oh. You know, you just say you're thriving and then one day you are thriving.
Yes, I think that's true. Then I believe it. She is thriving.
Thriving and living her best fucking life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, I was, my cousin asked me to play tennis this past weekend. We did not because it was raining outside.
Okay.
But he's like, I do it most Saturday. So let's do it one of these Saturdays. And I was like, great. So we'll probably do it. And then I've just seen a lot of people online playing tennis. Mm-hmm. And I was like, is there an increase in tennis? And then I looked up, like, you know, is there an increase in tennis right now? And post-pandemic, a lot more people are playing tennis. And I think it might be because of the increase of pickleball. Because pickleball got super popular during the pandemic.
It's and the I think fastest growing sport in America.
As you've said. And I think because people were playing pickleball, they're like, well, I need a bigger court. I need to like actually do this, do the real deal thing. And then they started getting rackets and playing tennis.
Wow. Who knew the pandemic would bring a resurgence in a sport that I don't understand the point system in?
I played tennis in middle school and I forget. I know it's like 30, 60,
90.
90?
And I know it's like love.
Love is zero. But yeah, I really can't remember.
I don't know the other things.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot a lot. But I remember enjoying it when I was younger. But I feel like my parents wanted me to be like Venus and Serena. And I was like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, of course. You're a little black girl. All black parents were like, I can have this too.
Absolutely.
I want it. I can have it.
Absolutely.
And then my dad loved tennis and had two little black girls.
No.
So he literally was like, I can have a Venus and a Serena.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I was like pretty powerful as a child and could like really fucking whack the ball. But
yeah.
I just didn't have the love for it, you know?
You gotta have the love for it.
You gotta I would rather be swimming than on a court with a net, a hard net. A racket, that's what it's called.
A hard net.
Well,
there
like
is a net.
Yeah, oh yeah, the net in the middle. But I was talking about the racket.
I see.
And you know, that little box weavy thing kind of looks like some netting, some hard netting.
Honestly, I mean, Venus and Serena are impressive for many, many reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also really impressive that they are still doing something that they've done since they were children.
Yes.
That's like
and they
wild.
Love it.
And they love it.
Well, that's like Beyonce. Beyonce's been doing this for 27 years, I believe she said at her concert.
Yeah. This is
that's
true.
A long time.
I just feel like that's so rare that your parents make you do something you actually like it. Like my mom wanted me to play the violin. I hated it.
Mm.
I didn't want to play the violin. I wish I stuck with it. so I could play an instrument. But when, you know, I didn't like the fact that I was told to play an instrument. I would have rather have chosen an instrument. I wanted to play the clarinet. Is that cooler than a violin? Not really, but
yeah,
that's what
is.
I wanted.
You gotta suck on that reed.
Maybe that's why my mom didn't want me to play a clarinet. She's like, you're not sucking on anything.
You're not gonna suck on any piece of wood, little or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, my sister played clarinet and I would just watch her suck on these reeds and I was like, ugh. And then they'd go back in her little clarinet box and I was like, this instrument is sick. This is nasty.
That does seem unsanitary.
Yeah, I think the difference is, so like, okay, if your mom forced you to play the violin and you were instantly great at it, I think you would have a different approach to it. Not that like Venus and Serena were instantly great, but like, seems like they started winning pretty early.
Yeah.
And like entered competitions earlier than like coaches thought they should. Cause yeah. Daddy said, come on.
Yeah. That's a good point.
If I was instantly good at something, I'd be like, yeah, this is fucking for me. Thanks, mommy and daddy.
That is a good point. Yeah. I certainly wasn't winning competitions, but I feel like I wasn't trying hard because I was told to do it. If that makes sense. Like, maybe if I tried hard, I would have excelled at the violin. But I just did the bare minimum to stay in class. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I played flute, and I could have been Lizzo. You know?
I'm sure most people think you are.
Stuck with it. People already think I'm Lizzo. And imagine if someone called me Lizzo, I'd be like, yeah, I am one. Took out a flute. They'd be like, is she Lizzo?
They'd be like, well, wait, I'm confused.
I don't really get it. What's happening? Also, piano. I wish I stuck with piano. My mother used to say, maybe I've said it on this podcast before, she was like, you're going to want to, when you're an adult, go to a dinner party and be able to bust out songs on a piano after dinner and everyone sing along. And I was like, you're a lunatic. That doesn't happen. You're stupid. You stupid bitch. And then I'm an adult and I'm like, oh man, I wish I could play that piano after dinner. That would be nice for us to sing around.
It would be really nice.
But I can't play piano.
No. No.
I didn't stick to anything from growing up. Except for swimming. I do swim a lot.
Yeah.
Boy, I love swimming. Mm-hmm. Ooh-wee.
Ooh-wee. Did I stick with anything? I guess I... I don't think so. Because I did gymnastics, I did basketball, I did volleyball, I did show choir, church choir. I didn't stick with any of it. I guess I did musicals in high school. That's one of my
theater journeys. And you're an actress now.
Yes. So there we go.
You stuck with something.
I did.
I do want to take a gymnastics class, but I'm like, do the uneven bars have a weight limit? Will they say, big lady, you can't swing on these?
That's the kind of gymnastics you want to do?
I want to do all the gymnastics. Well, I want to do tumbling, but I really do love the uneven bars.
Yeah.
I'm not fucking with the beam. That seems, I didn't like beam when I did gymnastics. I was too hard. Even the beam closest to the floor. Jordan, can you look up to see if there's a weight limit on the uneven bars, please?
You're getting so close to the camera.
There's one thing has come out saying that the bar can hold up to 220 pounds.
Okay.
That's just one thing. But the only thing I'm thinking of is like you were like spinning and like jolting on these bars. I feel like I would break it in half. Me personally.
Maybe, but also you have to remember, can you actually swing your body around it?
Oh,
that's like a pull.
No.
Like a pull can withstand weight on it, but it cannot withstand like a body flying around it. But it's like, can a bigger body actually do that? I don't know.
There's also pulls that are a weight limit of like 400. So I think it just depends on which bar you get. Let me find out if there's like a max.
Because Sky Zone, the fucking trampoline place, I really wanted to go to it for my birthday. They have a weight limit. And I was like, makes me so sad to jump on a fucking trampoline. If you have a commercial trampoline space, You should be able to have the fattest of the fatties jump on it. No problem. Take their money.
I mean, yeah. Is it because also Sky Zone is that place with like trampolines in the floor, right?
I believe so, yeah. And all I wanted to do was jump. And they said, no, stay on the ground, bitch.
But that's also confusing to me because don't they have, I guess I don't know. I've never been there before. But I can't imagine it's one person at a time. Shouldn't it withstand multiple people jumping on it?
I don't know the Sky Zone rules.
I guess I don't know either.
But I do just want to jump on a trampoline. Like, I'm dying to.
Yes, that sounds very fun.
It sounds like so much fucking fun. Like, just up and down, like, move it all around. Flips and tricks.
Flips and tricks. Yeah.
I just want to do stuff that makes me smile. That's all I want to do. The world is hard, and I want to smile.
I feel like, I don't know the last time I've been on a trampoline, but anytime my body's jostled, I'm not having a good time.
Oh, really?
Because my titties are big, and like, I don't know. I don't like when my stomach feels like I'm like the weight is lifted in my stomach. Like, I feel like I'm like getting nauseous. I don't know. I'm old.
Oh, I'm sorry. I ain't got no titties, so I don't got that problem. And then, I don't know, my butt jumbling around. That's fun for me.
Okay. Oh, great.
I do want a bigger butt.
Bigger?
Yeah. Rounder.
It's already quite round.
I know, but I want it rounder.
All right.
That's what I want. Remember when we were sitting at Beyonce and I was so much taller than you? And I screamed at you. That's what did I say? That's why I have a problem with our height.
Yes. Yeah. We took a picture and I did look much shorter than you.
So much shorter. It was really, it was an optical illusion and it felt insane.
And you're like, this is why I think I'm taller than you. And that's why I have a problem with that.
I was like, oh my God. Because I was like a whole foot taller than you sitting. It's wild. Yeah. And then we stand up and I'm not. I'm small.
Yeah, it's just that ass is lifting you. And then I slouch a little bit. So then, yeah, I think there's a bit of a difference when we sit.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
You know, that concert was the first time I had bought an outfit for an event in a very long time.
Yeah.
I think I told you this because I usually just buy things to be like, just in case. Mm-hmm. But I just didn't have any silver. I'm never just in case I need to wear silver to something.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, Beyonce told me I have to wear silver.
She said.
And I'm not disrespecting Beyonce. Mm-mm. But people did.
People did. But then you sent me the story where she said that, but by the time I looked at it, it was gone. So maybe people didn't get the memo.
It's on her website. Like,
oh, then they have no excuse.
They had zero fucking excuse. None. Yeah. You saw pictures of people wearing silver and you thought it was a choice?
It's
you
what
saw
the queen
all your
wants.
Friends in silver? It's what she wanted.
Yeah.
I mean, I truly can't get over how good she was.
So good. That was a really fun show. Really
it was
fun.
So fun. Break My Soul was such a fun. It was like, it felt like a fucking party. And I was like, I can't believe Beyonce invited me to her party. Like, can you even?
Yeah, it was very fun. Yeah, it was just like a good mix of like old classics and then Renaissance.
Yes.
And I was very happy.
I was so happy. Halfway through the show, I was like, wait. Should we invite Beyonce and Kelly Rowland to be on the podcast to promote her tour? You know, these last couple dates, she might have slow ticket sales or something. I think we should reach out to them.
You know, the worst that could happen is no one responds. We may as well try.
No, the worst that can happen is an email going, no, like Oprah and Gail did, where I was like,
that
just ignore
actually
us.
Is the worst.
Just yeah, ignore
why would
us.
You
just
actively pretend, say no.
Pretend you didn't get it. I think we should go out to them again and be like, are you sure?
Like for real, for real. You like actually know? Yeah.
You don't want to promote the own network? You don't want more eyes on the own network?
You want to promote CBS News?
Yeah. I really think, Jordan, can we please make a note that we need to go out to Beyonce and Kelly and Oprah and Gail again and be like, are you guys, one, please do the podcast before your tour. So like, you know, just take an hour backstage before you go on to do our podcast. It'll only take an hour of your time. You could even do it with Blue, so you don't have to coordinate with Kelly, you know? Blue could just do it. It'll be fine. Or Jay, that is probably your best friend too. Maybe Tina, you know? So tell Beyonce she can have, we're not going to assign her best friend. She can tell us.
Yeah.
Yeah. You tell us who your best friend is, and I'll just take an hour right before she goes on stage.
Oh, maybe we should have Flyna Boss.
I would love them. They are best friends and they're so adorable. And I love that one of them wears ears.
And I love that one wears a purse every time they do those running videos.
Yes.
That is so funny to me.
They're so wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're going on tour with Janelle Monáe, who we might see in October, which I'm very excited about.
Which is great. Might see. I said yes. Has my invitation been recanted?
No, it hasn't been recanted. I guess it didn't feel like a firm yes. I thought it was like a we'll see. But if it was
it's
a firm
yes.
It's
in my calendar.
Well, then we're doing it.
I put it right up in there as soon as you told me the date.
Perfect. I'm glad.
Oh,
we're doing
thank
it.
Thank God. Okay. I got to get up on my Janelle Monáe because I've liked her as an entity for so long, but I haven't really listened to her new music.
Yeah.
Now that she's taking her titties out.
The titties are out.
I hope she keeps them out. I want to see them.
I mean, they're great.
I love titties. I don't think anyone talks about it enough. Titties are great.
You don't
even
think
nasty
talk about
titties
it
are good. What?
You think that people have been like on the fence about titties?
Well, I just feel like we're not as open to talk about how great titties are. I think they're lovely to look at.
Yeah, yeah, they are lovely to look at.
Like, I'm not trying to like suck on none. I just like looking at them.
Yeah, and you said even nasty titties are great.
Even nasty titties are great. Sloppy, dumpy, nasty little titties. Those are good too.
They're all good.
They really are.
How would you naturally bring up talking about titties?
Oh, in a conversation?
Yeah.
Oh, talk about Janelle Monáe and how she's been taking her titties out. And then you go, you know, here's a thought. Nobody's talking about titties anymore. I feel like in the 90s, we always talked about titties. Like, people had, like, boob jobs and their titties were out. And I was like, Pam Anderson, look at them titties. And I don't think we have a titty person anymore.
Oh, you know what? Because we're in ass land right now.
Oh.
It's all about the butt.
We are in ass land. We have left Boobtopia and taken the train to ass land. Yeah, butts are hot right now.
Yeah, people are getting like, you know, Brazilian butt lifts and injections and, you know, it's all about the butt.
Yeah.
People eating ass. Ooh,
eating the booties like groceries, which is so funny to say because it's like, I don't eat all my groceries. Sometimes I buy Windex at the grocery store and you're not going to catch me eating no Windex, okay?
And I'm not going to be cleaning my windows with a butt.
Although I would love to see someone clean their windows with a butt and be like, that's what I'm doing. But I will say this about butts. There are bad butts.
There are bad butts.
I don't think there's any bad titties. I think there are terrible butts. I have seen some butts that I don't want to remember. Like just a big, long, flat butt. I don't like them.
Or just like badly operated on or like misshapen or like where it's just like the lumps are lumping and not. Yeah. Doing what they're supposed to do or moving the way it's supposed to move.
Yeah. I saw one bad butt on Instagram once. It was like long, flat, but then, you know, like the little W part, the bottom part, it was like drooping. And I was like, ew, it looked like two little chicken cutlets. Yes. it was really upsetting for me and my eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no bad titties.
But what about titties that are like too hard?
Those are great. I love hard titties.
Oh,
I love big surgery titties.
Really?
Those are the most fun. Yes. They look like little basketballs on people. That's fun. But also, mm-hmm. I love a surgery, but have we talked about it on this podcast? I love bimbos. Like, yes. On Instagram, ugh, I just love them. They're my favorite. And I thought I lost one, but I recently refound her.
Like, you have her here? Or
yeah, I she got out of my grasp. No, because sometimes Instagram will delete their profiles. So then if you don't follow their backups, you can't find them. And then they're like lost in the ether. But I found her on a meme site where people were making fun of her big butt. And then her friend tagged her and was like, no, that's my girl. I'll leave her alone. And I was like, there she is. And I found her again. I was so excited.
Oh, thank goodness. And what is she doing? Just posing?
Yeah.
Living her life?
Living her life. Posing and, you know, having the best time posing in like in closets, in stores, in bedrooms, mm-hmm. at restaurants. You know, anywhere you go, you take a picture.
You got it. This is my butt in the closet. This mm-hmm. is my butt in a restaurant.
It's like a Elf on the Shelf is your butt in different places.
That's really
right.
Funny.
Don't you take the Elf on the Shelf different places?
Yes. Yeah. I don't think I knew what Elf on the Shelf was until this like past Christmas, because people were like showing videos of themselves placing the elf in different places before their kid woke up. And I was like, damn, being a parent is exhausting. You have to
wake up in the middle of the night and move an elf around and tell him it's real.
Yeah. This one woman like created a whole scene where like the elf was like falling out of the microwave and like popcorn was falling around it. And so it was like suspended in the air. And I was like, it's a full art project at 3 a.m.
That's the thing about kids. Like, you could be a parent who doesn't do any of that, and then your kid grows up and they're like, wait a minute, other kids got fun shit? Other kids got stories that were made at 3 a.m.? And then you're like, what were you fucking doing? Your mom's like sleeping. And then also it's like you have to hide Christmas presents so they don't find it, but you got to get it before it fucking sells out. Yeah. You got to take them to the dentist all the time. And like, I just, ugh, the thought of having, like, no shade to people who have kids, but I cannot be bothered. Yes,
it's a lot of work on top of any work that you're already doing.
And I'm doing a lot of work. Did you hear about the European airline that has a child-free like section?
I did.
I was like, ooh, give me more, to quote Britney Spears. Give me more, okay?
give me more.
I think it's like closed off by like an actual like partition. So it's like you have to go through like a partition to like get there.
Not even
or like
just
a wall or something.
Not even like just the cloth?
No, I think it's an actual partition where they close them in and they can scream amongst themselves. I love it.
Sounds great.
Right?
I really want that to come over here.
Me too.
Because also, did they say where are the kids? In the front or the back?
Are you kidding? In the back. Put them in the back. Put them on the wings. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're in the back. And I think it's great.
I wonder. Oh, okay. We found an article about it. Flying in peace.
Wow. 60% of American adults agree that a child-free area on planes and trains would be nothing short of a blessing.
It's Koradan Airlines, Turkish Dutch airline. Okay. Yeah, you'd be 16 and plus to be in one of the 93 seats reserved exclusively for adults. I love that.
Me too.
And I feel like I haven't heard from any parents about this. I don't know how they would feel about it, but I feel like parents would maybe like that, question mark, because then you have to worry about other adults like giving you a side eye and being like, oh my God, can you shut your kid up? Or like, you know, you could be like, oh, well, my kid's not the only one screaming here. Mm-hmm. So it's less pressure off of me.
Yeah. Have a whole romper room back there. Y'all can, as soon as we get to a cruising altitude, take out the toys and let them fucking crawl on the floor like kids like to do. They're nasty. Oh, I just can't. Just imagine traveling with like a little person who's irrational. It's like, come on, we gotta get on the plane. Why?
I don't want to travel with adults who are rational.
Me either. I only like traveling with fun, good times.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only really been on a trip with like one person where I was like, oh, I'll never do this again.
I don't think I have any nightmare travel experiences with somebody, thankfully. Mm-hmm. But I have travel people where I'm like, okay, you know, maybe we travel differently.
Yeah, we travel very differently, and this is not for me. I had a friend, we were driving somewhere, and she started painting her nails in the car, and I was like, no. No. Why? What? What makes you?
We're in an
enclosed
space right now.
We're
I'm gonna
die. Tiny car.
Yeah.
I remember when we were in Rome, we drove to like the countryside, and that was the loveliest car ride.
That was so nice.
We had a designated driver who was happy to drive, and we just screamed in the back and had a nice time.
We were the kids in the back.
We were the kids in the back. Also, I feel like if you take your shoes off on the plane and you're barefoot, you have to go back and sit with the children. Like, I think a flight attendant should be like, I'm sorry, sir, you're not an adult. You have to go in the back with the children. Or if you throw any sort of fit, you have to go in the back.
Yeah.
And it becomes a punishment of children and badly behaved adults.
Sorry, you're screaming. So is the baby.
One of my favorite videos of all time because he is right.
He's right. I loved it. Oh, I told you how the police got on board the plane, the last flight I was on. But nothing
scary.
Really happened. I was hoping that, not hoping. I didn't want anything bad to happen. But I was like, are they going to take somebody off the plane? Are they going to arrest somebody right off the plane? And then nothing happened. They just like went back and talked to people and then walked off.
They were like, the police were like, our friends are landing. Let's go hit them up.
Hey, man, how's it going? I just wanted to talk to you before everyone got off the plane. Okay, I'll see you outside.
All right, see you later, man. That was fun. I'm trying to think if anything wild has happened on the plane. I was on a plane where they were like, is there any medical doctor aboard? And then the flight attendant ran up and down the aisle. Like, oh, she did not calm anybody down.
Oh,
if anything, she made the situation worse.
Oh no.
And then she had to pull out the oxygen tank and ran that back to the person. And it was just like real scary for a hot second, but then they were fine.
And you were in the air when this happened?
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy.
That's we were scary. Also close enough to the airport that we could have just gone back.
Mm.
But they were like, we got to get to Miami.
We can't.
You'll figure it out when you get there.
Yeah. Damn. Well, thankfully they were okay.
Ooh. Oh, no. Oh, somebody sent this to me. Robin Fierce sent this this story to me. A Delta plane underwent a 5-hour cleanup operation where the entire carpet needed to be replaced after a passenger suffered a horrific bout of diarrhea.
No.
But here is the thing. If the carpet needed to be replaced and not a piece of the carpet, did this person diarrhea from the front to the back of the plane? Wait, okay, both my wife and I were on the flight. It was a mess. The pilots made the right decision to turn around. The ground crew ripped out the carpet and put a new one in. Considering the circumstances, the ground crew did a great job along with the flight attendants and the pilot.
Wait, did the passengers have to stay on the plane while they replaced the carpet?
I doubt that. Oh, wait, I don't know. How do you walk off a plane if the whole carpet is drenched in diarrhea? My partner was on that. Wait, let's see. My partner was on that flight. It was pretty bad. It was dribbled down the aisle. Smelled horrible. The vanilla scented disinfectant used only made it smell like vanilla shit. After the plane landed, it was thoroughly clean. They didn't leave around 2:30 in the morning. Oh, no. The flight was met by emergency vehicles and EMTs carried the sick passenger off the plane. My partner said the plane was cleaner when they got back on at 2 a.m., but it was then the first time it got on. No smell either. Damn. I hope
mean,
they're okay.
I guess good job on the crew for working so diligently, but
yeah.
Oh boy.
I just really need to know, did they diarrhea from the front to the back of the plane? For the maybe whole carpet to be removed.
I guess, like, maybe, let's say they sat in, like, row 16. and they needed to go to the bathroom, and the bathroom's all the way in the back of the plane. Mm-hmm. So maybe from their seat to the back of the plane, maybe they're just dribbling down the aisle.
Lord. But okay, here's another quandary. Mm-hmm. If you're not feeling that good, mm-hmm. and I'm sure you had diarrhea before you got to the airport, before you got on the plane,
maybe you don't get on the plane. Sometimes it hits you. Sometimes it just hits you. The times I've had diarrhea, it came out of nowhere. It was not like I was like, I feel a rumble coming on. It was like, oh, it's here.
Have you ever had explosive diarrhea where you're dribbling?
Yeah.
Okay, we don't have to get into it.
Yeah, certainly. And I wasn't home.
Oh, no. We don't have to get into that at all. Woo, woo, woo. Although, okay, I did recently get on a plane when I probably shouldn't have. When I went to Vegas, I was sick. I was so hungover. And mm-hmm. I didn't feel good at all, to the point where, like, I sat down on the plane and I was like, I need a vodka soda just to even things out. And then we got into the sky and I was like, am I gonna barf all over this lady next to me? And then I didn't. It was bad, though. Oh, and then the driver to the casino kept, like, trying to talk to me. And I was like, sir, you have to stop. It was bad. It was not good. And I knowingly got on a plane like that. So I guess I get it.
Yeah. See? It can happen to the best of us.
It really can. I thought I was going to die this year in midair. Yeah. And I slept hard, and that is a 30-minute flight. Like, we landed, and I was like, and I was like, am I the only person flying to Vegas with a hangover? Usually people are flying from Vegas with a hangover.
Yeah, they're like, did you leave something?
I went home with a hangover, too.
Yes!
I went and saw Drag Race live for the second time. And we were we got double Kettle Ones and soda. And the lady went, that's a lot of alcohol and also pretty expensive. And we were like, don't judge us. But by the end of the show, I was like, oh, man, that lady was right. I was fucked up. And then me and my friend, we were like smoking cigarettes at the casino and drinking more vodka. And then we both cried at the casino at the fucking bar. And then the man was just like, I'm just going to replace your ashtray. And we were like, thank you so much for being so kind. And then then we ordered room service and then had more drinks. And then my flight left at 6 a.m. And you believe I said for the car to come at 5. I gave myself an hour from the hotel to the plane ascending to the sky.
Oh, no.
And when I got to the airport, I was like, oh, I have to take a tram. The line is very long. Why did I do this? I truly sat down and the door closed and we left. It was, I don't know why I did that.
Because she loves the rush.
I love it. I love the rush of being hungover sick trying to make it to a plane.
Yeah, that feels awful.
Who you telling? I just did it twice. It was bad.
Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your own body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now, politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that will block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. That's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctor. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future.
So listen. We all know life is full of yada, yada, and, you know, people talk and you're just like, oh my God, this is annoying. And then you just hit an unsubscribe on a bunch of things you got subscribed to on your email. And you're like, what is happening? And I know you've dealt with yada yada before. Like when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding in the deep in fine print, or bills that seem to keep going up for no dang reason. Or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare, but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have elsewhere. And yes, it's possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included. You don't take yada yada in life. Don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of our over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide.
I don't wear makeup often, but when I do, I want to make sure I can use products that work for my skin and look good for my skin color. And so that's why I like Thrive Cosmetics. Thrive Cosmetics has a full line of makeup to refresh your everyday look. With clean, skin-loving ingredients, their foolproof products make it easy for any skill level to apply. Their Brilliant Eye Brightener can be used as highlighter eyeshadow combo that makes your eye look effortless. It comes in 16 buildable shades to choose from and play with. Their easy-to-use Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner helps you achieve your ideal eyebrow look. It holds like wax and blends like a powder. I love the waterproof eyebrow liner because most of the time I just do my eyebrows and walk out the door. I like having a nice little like finished look. It looks like I tried, but I really didn't. I don't need multiple things. I don't need a brush and then a separate liner and then a separate color and blah, blah, blah. It's all one thing and it's great. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/bestfriends. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/bestfriends for 10% off your first order.
Should we answer people's questions or do a quiz?
Maybe questions.
We talked for a long time.
We did for a long time. We had a lot to catch up on.
So much to catch up on. Oh, also, we got to go to dinner or something while you're here.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I am leaving tomorrow. But then I come back.
Ah, shit. Okay. Only single friend. Hi, Nicole, Sashir, and the whole gang. I absolutely love the podcast. I drive a lot for work, and when a new episode comes out, it makes my day. I was wondering if you had any advice on how to be more comfortable hanging out at social events with my friends when I am the only one who does not have a significant other. I am the shy one in the group and socially anxious, so just going to these events is a huge step for me. But I feel left out and uncomfortable when I attend these events alone. My friends and their partners are really nice, and it's cool that they invite me, but I still feel so awkward in the group without a partner. Last time I went to a social event, I was so uncomfortable.
I had a hard time contributing to the conversations, and it felt like I didn't belong, so I left early. I have a few social events coming up, and I'm considering not going because I do not want to feel that uncomfortableness again. Any advice will help greatly. I mean, I like that you're going to these events at all. Because you never know. You could have fun, and you don't want to miss out on like having experiences, especially with people who you like and who like you. And then also, I like that you're exercising your right to leave whenever you want. Like, you also don't have to stay for these events. If you feel uncomfortable or awkward or just are tired, you can leave whenever you want. And I don't think anyone will have a problem with it because they're, you know, we're adults and people leave when they whenever they want.
Also, are you telling yourself the truth? Do every single one of your friends have a significant other? Or does it just feel like that? And maybe if you do have a single friend, you can be like, hey, do you want a carpool? So it's like you kind of go in together as buddies and kind of like have each other's back. And maybe that single friend also feels the same way you're feeling. I don't like, I mean, most of my friends are in relationships, but I don't necessarily hang out with them. It's never like a couple's thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I usually hang out with, like, my one friend of the partner, but it's never like, but then also when I do hang out with my friends with partners and they are together, I'm not uncomfortable because I just talk to them like two separate entities. Mm-hmm. I think maybe you got to get to the root of why you're uncomfortable. Is it jealousy? Is it like public displays of affection that make you feel awkward? I need to know more. I need to know why you feel awkward.
Yeah, because like, you know, you're saying you don't have much to contribute to the conversation when you're hanging out with your friends and their partners. I can't imagine that the only thing that they're talking about is like about being a couple. Like if there's a group of people, mm-hmm. they're probably talking about other stuff. I mean, maybe they might dip into like relationship stuff, but probably not the whole time.
Yeah.
And you can always like try to like slip in something that you're interested in, which I know is hard for people who are socially anxious. But you know, what's the last movie you watched or what's the last like book you read? Or is there like is something going on in space that's cool? People love talking about space. Bring it up.
Is there something going on in space that's cool?
You know, like, hey, they just saw another sighting of a spaceship or like, they discovered a new moon on blah, blah, blah. What do you guys think about it? And then people might start talking about more general things as opposed to maybe a couple things. If that is, in fact, what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, these are your friends. They like hanging out with you. They wanted you to be there. So just talk about things that you would talk about with your friends normally.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do think if you have a single friend who's also there to like carpool with, I really do think that coming in together is stronger than alone. But I also really want to know the root of why you're so, if it's just social anxiety, okay. But if there's other things, I'd like to know. So can I have an update?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Solved until I hear more.
Yeah. Hi, Nicole. Hi, Sashir. First off, let me say that I found your podcast while Googling something along the lines of happy podcasts about 2 years ago, and it has been nonstop giggles ever since. Thank you for bringing me joy. I have a friendship question. My friend's marriage recently turned toxic about a year ago after discovering some secrets about her husband that are irreconcilable. They have been together for the past decade, and she is finding it really hard to end the marriage. As her friend, I have watched her struggle emotionally for the past year and is breaking my heart. She recently confided in me that she got a new job in a new town that would force her to move and get a divorce. However, she hasn't taken the job yet. I could tell during our last conversation that she doesn't want to end the marriage or get divorced, but knows that she has to.
My question is, what do I say and do as her friend at this moment? I want her to know that I'm here for her no matter what she chooses, but I also desperately want her to get out of this marriage. I'm worried sick for her every day, but I know it's not my place to force her hand. Honestly, at the risk of sounding selfish, even kind words to calm my nerves as I watch her navigate this toxic / emotionally abusive situation would help. I do think since she has the opportunity to take a job that would move her away and it's an easy way for her to get divorced, and I know you don't want to force her hand, I do think you can say, you know, real talk, I won't harp on this, but I really do think you should take this opportunity and maybe bring up some of the things that this man or person has done to your friend and be like, for these reasons, I really do think you should be out, but again, I do support you. But I don't want you to turn down something on account of somebody else who hasn't been good to you. Mm-hmm. They may be a good sibling. They may be a good, you know, child. They may be a good friend, but they were not a good partner to you. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't make them a bad person. They're just not a good person for you.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't force your friend to do anything. You can say your piece, but it's up to your friend to figure out if what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you could even ask your friend, hey, I want to be supportive of you, but I don't want to like overstep any bounds, or like, you let me know what you need. If you just need to talk to me and vent and cry while you're processing this and you don't actually want advice, let me know. If you actually want me to give my thoughts on how I feel about what you're going through, I can do that. But if you don't want to hear that, I'm fine doing that too. Cause mm-hmm. it's possible she knows. She straight up applied for a job in a different town. She knows what she needs to do to get out. She don't want to do it right now. She might do it one day. She also may never do it. And that also has to be okay. It's not okay, quote unquote, but it's like
her life.
That's her life. And that's her choice. So she may not want to hear advice right now because she knows good and well what she should be doing, but doesn't want to do it right now. And no matter what you say, nothing's going to change until she wants to change it. So you could also have the conversation of like, I want to be supportive, but I also don't want to keep giving you the same advice over and over again, or be like harping on things, or be too pushy if you're not going to take the advice or like actually listen to it. So what do you want? Or like, how do you mm-hmm. want me to play a part in this? Or do you not want me to play a part at all? Just be a sounding board. And then also, you can be clear about your boundaries too, because you also don't have to just take all this information in, because that is taxing to be witnessing, like to be bear witness to your friend kind of going through a really unhealthy situation. So you can also be like, it's really sad for me to watch this. Like, it's really sad for me to see you go through all of this, and I want to help you process this, but it's hard for me to listen to this stuff too. So maybe if you like talk to your therapist about it, hopefully they have one, or you know, I hope you have a broader support system than just me, because mm-hmm. this is a lot for me to take on just by myself.
Yeah, I think that's all good.
Yeah.
Solved.
So,
love starts with you. Show off your personal style every day with new Pandora pieces that set a shining example for the world to see. From big feelings to small messages and everything in between, beautiful hand-finished jewelry from Pandora radiates with your love from every angle. Create a look that's all your own with a unique mix of meaningful charms, or choose from Pandora's sparkling selection of timeless designs, perfect for making an eye-catching statement. With Pandora Jewelry's vast selection of rings, bracelet, earrings, necklaces, and charms, there's endless ways to love it, stack it, and wear it, and share it. Style your everyday favorites with sparkling cuts, vibrant enamels, and playful designs, or truly make it your own with a personal engraving. Pandora Jewelry is the perfect way to share the gift of love with yourself and the ones closest to your heart. Shop now at Pandora.net. Pandora, be love.
Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get podcasts. Hey, Nicole and Sashir, love from the UK. Oh, cheerio, we love the UK. I'm obsessed with you both and listen and laugh with you every week. I'm having trouble with a friend who's having issues managing their anger. They are my best friend in the world, a wonderful person, so funny, and truly there's no one I'd rather have by my side in this crazy world. However, we've been friends for 10 years, and I've always known they had a short fuse. Aries, am I right? But recently, I've noticed their anger issues getting more intense. It's difficult because I know they struggle with their mental health, but it's getting to the point where it's hard to brush off. They used to go to therapy, but stopped because it, quote unquote, wasn't helping. And they don't want to seek out a new therapist. They're also pretty inconsistent with taking their meds.
I know the anger is never directed at me, and their outbursts usually come from road rage or technology failing them, etc. And while I understand that things can be frustrating and people on the road can be annoying, it's getting to the point where I get more and more anxious being around them, as I'm always bracing myself for an outburst. We live together and both work from home. It all kind of culminated recently during my birthday weekend. We took a trip together and their angst was out of control. I had a hard time relaxing and enjoying my weekend. And when we were driving back home, they asked me how I was. And I said, paraphrase for the sake of length, honestly, I've had a hard time truly enjoying my birthday because of your anger outbursts are really frazzling my nervous system. I understand why you're upset, and I'm not saying you're not allowed to feel how you feel, but your actions are now affecting those around you pretty badly. To this, they replied, well, it is literally a stress response. If it feels bad for you, imagine how it feels for me.
It kind of felt like they brushed me off and they weren't interested in how their actions affected me. I've also been going through a hard time and just wanted to have a fun birthday weekend with my best friend and forget our troubles. But honestly, I feel worse now. I don't know how else I can communicate with them that they should really get help. It's getting to the point where I think we shouldn't live together anymore for the sake of our friendship. I know they feel safe around me, and that's partly why they have these outbursts around me. But it's hard because I feel like they give everyone the best of them, and I mostly get the shitty parts these days. I love them like family, and I want them to get help, but they don't seem to want to help themselves. Please help me with my angry friend.
Well, I'm sorry your friend can't be empathetic or aware enough to acknowledge your perception of all of this. Like to say, like, you know, imagine how I feel. I'm sure they are feeling bad, but also that's not quite acknowledging your emotions in that moment. I mean, maybe you need to move out. Like, maybe that would be helpful for both of you. Sometimes, unfortunately, people take the people closest to them for granted, be it their partner or their family or their roommate or their best friend. So you're probably right that other people are getting the better parts of this person and you're getting all of the other stuff. And that's not fair to you. And sounds like you're being very honest and clear.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, if you do choose to move out, I would say something beforehand. Like, actually, like, this really is affecting my nervous system. I love you, but I don't want this to affect our friendship and our relationship. And I think it might be best if I leave, and, you know, we're still friends, but I can't be around this on a daily basis because it really is creating problems and stressors for me.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that would be a wake-up call for your friend, or maybe it won't. But either way, you do need to protect your peace.
And to them saying, well, if it makes you feel bad, imagine how it makes me feel, I would be like, yeah, I don't feel good, so that must mean you're not feeling good. Don't you want to feel good?
Yeah.
Don't you want to figure out what causes these, outbursts and stuff? And again, I know you can't, like, force somebody into therapy, but, like, I think maybe if you phrase it that way, that might be helpful. But I do think moving out would probably be your best case scenario. And I do think you can phrase it by, like, I'm not criticizing you for the way you live. I'm just taking care of me. And I'm being a little selfish in this moment because I do care about our friendship and I do want to remain friends. But then also you might have to, you know, grapple with the fact that that might affect your friendship. They may hold that against you because you're protecting yourself. But you just be like, I'll always be there for you. But yeah, I get that. Like, someone who has a lot of outbursts, it is tough to, like, relax because you're like, ooh, when's it gonna happen again? Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry that you do have to deal with that. But I do think preserving your peace of mind is the most important.
Yeah. And it's the only thing you can control. Like, your friend isn't gonna go to therapy just because you said they should go to therapy. They will figure that out on their own timeline, but you don't have to wait around for that. Like, you can you could take action in your own life now and make sure you're not being affected by this so often.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It's a shitty situation.
It is. That's stressful. Because also you want to hang out with that person too. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, but I just never know when they're going to start screaming.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's like not helpful every time they scream to be like, hey, I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I would start doing that, being like, hey, this was a little too intense for me. I got to go. So maybe it's like cause and effect. It's like you scream, I leave.
Yeah. I'm sure there are like tactics that like a therapist or people have created that where it's like either you leave or I feel like probably removing yourself from the situation mm-hmm. while they're freaking out. We don't know. We're not doctors, but I feel like
no, even though I am Nicole Byer DDS, I am not a doctor. Oh, wait, I think that's a dentist. Oh, fuck. Oh, I think it's just an MD, a medical doctor.
Dentists are doctors.
Nicole Byer DDS, this is a little
bit
of...
Even though I am a doctor, I'm only a doctor of teeth.
I only like them teeth. Don't give me the rest of your body. This honestly might be like a good question for a therapist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure there are actual tactics of how to deal with people's outbursts like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they are specifically, but yeah, maybe ask your therapist or... Google. But yeah, make sure. I think what you can do is be active for yourself, and then hopefully mm-hmm. your friend will figure it out.
Yeah, solved. If you want queries and questions answered, you can email NicoleandSashir@gmail.com. You can call, leave a voicemail, text a message, or leave a voice note 424-645-7003.
We also have merch at podswag.com/bestfriends.
We have transcripts for our new episodes. Check them out on our show page at earwolf.com.
Lastly, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. That is the easiest way to support this show.
Yeah. See you later.
Bye.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got a charcoal mask! Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.